We turn now to Robert Malley. He's director of the International Crisis Group's Middle East program. He was special assistant to President Clinton for Arab-Israeli affairs, and he joins us here in our Washington studio. So glad you're with us.
Good to be here.
Now, as we just heard from Michelle Kellerman's piece, the United States and the European Union are pledging money to support the government of Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas. How much money are we talking about, and what had been the status up to now?
Well, the money that we were giving has been frozen basically since the Hamas government came into power about a year and a half ago. Now, we never gave much money. The U.S. never gave much money to the Palestinian Authority directly. So the real consequences of the decision to sanction the new government have been twofold. One, the banking restrictions, which meant that other countries and other entities that wanted to deal with the Palestinians didn't do so. And second, as you referred to earlier, the tax withheld tax receipts from revenues from Israel, which amount to hundreds of millions of dollars. That's what's going to make a difference. Of course, U.S. help will do something, but that's not where the main improvements will come from.
Any restrictions or earmarks as to how this money can or will be used?
Well, there may well be some, and in the past there have been some in terms of giving lethal assistance to the Palestinian security forces. And what just happened in Gaza, where Hamas put its hands on a lot of the weaponry that Fatah had, is going to get many people to be skeptical about giving lethal assistance to the security forces in the West Bank. And second of all, is the United States going to be prepared to give money to the new Palestinian prime minister without the string attached in terms of how much he could spend in Gaza, where Hamas is in control? And I think those are the two issues to look at.
Well, that's a big issue, the question of Gaza and the 1.3 million residents who live there. As we heard, the U.S. plans about $40 million to U.N. agencies helping people in Gaza. Will or how could they restrict money so it's only used in the West Bank? And how will Abbas deal with that, whether he tries to help the residents who actually live in Gaza?
Well, politically, it's almost impossible for either Abbas or the Prime Minister, Salam Fayyad, to accept money for the West Bank and say, sorry, we're not going to give it to Gaza. And that's the problem with the strategy we're seeing unfold right now, which is it's putting Abbas and his colleagues in the very difficult position of being West Bank firsters and basically leaving Gaza to its own fate. They can't survive as national leaders if that's the position they put into, and I would hope that the United States and others would understand that, that ultimately he needs to bring all Palestinians together.
The fear that we just heard expressed in the Michelle Kellerman piece,
that's right,
that helping one side and punishing the other. Do you think, or how do you think, Mahmoud Abbas could ultimately regain control over Gaza?
Well, it's going to take a long time. And what I think is going to have to happen at some point, and it's going to take some time because all of the bad blood and the horrors that we saw in Gaza, is that Abbas and his party are going to have to sit down with Hamas, because ultimately they know that Gaza can't go its own way and the West Bank can't go its own way. The only way you have security and stability, the only way you have a peace process, is if you have a minimal Palestinian consensus. So right now Abbas is talking tough. But ultimately, he knows at some point he's going to have to sit down with those he's denouncing today.
Talking tough, but now seen as a genuine partner with Israel, does he have the authority to sit down and negotiate with Hamas?
He has authority to sit down and negotiate with Olmert, certainly at this point. Will he be able to do it and retain credibility if he doesn't represent Gaza and if he doesn't represent those loyal to Hamas? And there are quite a few of them. He also is listening to how the Palestinian street hears what Secretary Rice and Olmert are saying. When they say Abbas is our partner and we want to deal with him, they're also hearing very, very serious interference with their own politics. Why are they picking and choosing the leaders who are legitimate? And that's another fear Abbas has. He cannot afford to appear as an American or an Israeli stooge. And that's why he's going to have to stand up for all Palestinians, including ultimately those who back Hamas.
Given what you've seen in the last 10 days, do you think that the formation of a single Palestinian state is still possible?
It's been made more complicated. It was already difficult, and it's just been made much more so. But ultimately, nothing that's happened is irreversible. If, in fact, the Palestinians could form a new national unity government or form some kind of power-sharing arrangement, Gaza and the West Bank can be back. And then you'll have the same problems we've had now for years, which have nothing to do with Palestinian politics, but everything to do with Israeli-Palestinian negotiations. And the question is whether a two-state solution is still viable.
Robert, before we let you go, I want you, I'm interested in what you make of something that we heard former Ambassador Indyk say on the show last week, that perhaps it's best to let the West Bank make its own deal with Israel and let Hamas form its own Islamic statelet in Gaza. What do you think about that?
I think that's an illusion, unfortunately or fortunately, because, number one, no Palestinian leader, Mahmoud Abbas in particular, can ignore Gaza, or he's no longer a national leader. Gaza cannot survive without the West Bank and vice versa. They are a political whole, and at some point they're going to have to be thought of and acting together once again.
Robert Malley, thanks so much for coming in to talk to us.
Thank you.
Robert Malley is the director of the International Crisis Group's Middle East Program.